Welcome back, everyone, for this week's Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This week, we are covering Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 32, from September the 5th of 1992. We are still in, we're in Newland, North Carolina, right, Doc? I can't remember my notes.
Like, this shit is like, the ring truck broke down in Newland, and they couldn't get the part, and it was on order, so they were like, fuck it, we're here. Let's set up and work the, let's work the marks while we're here, and do some shows.
Can we be a little bit classier with our comments about the venue?
We cannot. No.
Okay. Well, anyway, we are still in Newland, North Carolina. Don't worry. We've got a new venue coming up next week. And the way these things did, you know, I understand Mr. Cornette, he had to do his thing, and he had to, you know, shoot a bunch of TV from one location to another. So I believe this was probably about week three or four. I believe it's week four in Newland at this point. But anyway, we still got a great show ahead of us. Couple of quick shout-outs. Well, Harper first, how you doing, man? I need to ask you.
I'm doing all right, bro. Rocking it out.
You ready to do this? You ready to do this thing?
Yeah.
All right. I know you missed the last 2 weeks. You had a couple of appointments with your broads. You know, you couldn't make the show. So we want to make sure everything worked out last couple of weeks on episodes 30 and 31, man. You got all that squared away?
Yeah.
Okay. Knocked it out?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Just double checking. Doc, what about you, man? You doing all right?
This is the first day of my 10-day vacation, so you know what that means? I got 10 days to figure out how to get rich enough to not have to go back to fucking work.
All right. Let me know how that works out for you.
It's off to a bad start, I got to tell you, because I'm here talking about Smoky Mountain instead of figuring out my fortune.
Yeah, but you love Smoky Mountain. So
I do love Smoky Mountain, so it's kind of, you know,
yes.
It works out.
Well, a couple of quick shout-outs from episode 26. Remember, we record these weeks in advance. So episode 26 was a milestone episode, if y'all remember. We had Ricky Morton come into the territory and do his thing. And we also had the Dirty White Boy in the Junkyard. And so I had a couple of shout-outs related to that I wanted to mention on the show that I think you guys would get a good laugh out of. One of them was from @lonesome_Steve on Twitter. He said, spit take number one, don't try and eat dinner while Harper coins the phrase hydrated back. You remember that, Harper?
Yeah.
What kind of sad,
pathetic piece of crap sits around and eats dinner listening to our podcast? Jesus Christ.
Spend some time with the family.
I just picture some like fat guy with the fucking TV dinner like sitting there. You know,
sodium bomb, wondering why he's eating 400 times his daily allotment of sodium and can't figure out why he weighs 338
Come
pounds.
Come on, man. Why do y'all always
You said his name is Lonesome Steve. I think he's kind of telling us all about himself right there.
But do you always have to play heel? I mean, can you ever...
Just remember, Steve, there's always a suicide hotline. So think about it before you make the call, before you do anything drastic.
That is real classy. And then we had from @FakeBuddyLandell on Twitter. He says that @MikeSkills, Tim is the only guy I know that can talk people out of the building. I believe we talked about that on the flagship show a few weeks back. We also had @JamesEBarnett_Jimsy, my boy. He says, I tried to watch Raw, but I stopped when I saw the New Day. I got a feeling Smoky Mountain Wrestling will be much better anyway. And you are right, Mr. Barnett. You are definitely right. @DSCash1982 says, and this guy, I don't know if he's just trying to be ornery or trolling or whatever, but he says, was I the only guy that thought Smoky Mountain was a poor man's NWA? Go ahead.
So it's really hard to compare the two when the fact that the NWA was running in big cities, and we've been doing the Saturday nights lately from 1985, and we talk about the Hall of Famers that roster had in their late 20s and in an athletic prime and a confluence of guys that could all-time greats cutting promos. We are in Newland, North Carolina, and I'm going to lay off of them for a while, but we're in population centers of 2,000-3,000 people around the Smoky Mountain area in a time, when TV was tough and the wrestling industry was depressed a little bit. There was kind of a recession going on for wrestling. So one of the reasons that I like it so much is it's the underdog story of the little engine that could out there trying to get it going in an area where there's a lot of stuff against it. There's a strong headwind. And so that's why I've always said it's one of my favorite promotions, because of all the things they were able to achieve. When you put it straight at the starting line, even with NWA, does it beat NWA? No. I mean, NWA had all the stuff, but a poor man's NWA? Nah, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, that's bull crap. I mean, NWA had TBS, Smoky Mountain didn't, and for my bang, for my buck, I'm watching Smoky Mountain. We are doing the WCW shows from the mid-80s right now, but come on, man. That's kind of an insult to Smoky Mountain to call him a poor man's NWA.
Just yeah, my for personal real. Opinion.
And they were probably, and if we were going to be honest here, they were probably getting as many ideas from Memphis history as anything else.
Well, and the thing was, they operated in an environment that was much different in 1992 than the NWA did, if you want to call it the early 80s, mid 80s, even late 80s. So, come on, man. I mean, nah. Let's lay off the trying to bury Smoky Mountain Wrestling that way. And then these last two tweets before we get into the show. At Riley Arnwine on Twitter, longtime supporter, patron member of the show. If you're not a patron member, please become one. Go to tinyurl.com/BTTpatron. But Riley Arnwine says, the Cleveland, Tennessee location was not the location of the junkyard in Bucksnort, Tennessee, but was the location of the Ring Rat Orgy post-match Holiday Inn in the credits. If you remember, it said Bucks. Yeah. It said Cleveland, Tennessee in the credits. That was the location for the Holiday Inn, evidently.
And remember, that's where we decided a few weeks ago that more half rat, half wrestlers were conceived in that Holiday Inn.
That's nice.
That's real classy. He also goes on to say in his tweet that Bucksnort is only an exit on I-40 west of Nashville. The town doesn't exist anymore. So I appreciate that, Riley. Thanks for sending it in.
How could it not exist anymore?
I think it was like just an older town that, you know, kind of had a name at one point, but nobody lives there anymore, so it's just not a town anymore.
They got together at the city council one night and was like, man, I just don't want to do this anymore, and everybody just left. I bet at that one time at that convenience store there that was there, you could get some kick-ass beef jerky, though.
And some weed.
Well, then at BMurray198179 says, he didn't say anything. He just sent a pic of the abandoned convenience store and gas station on that exit in Bucksnort. So thank you, B. Murray. We appreciate it. Everyone, I know we normally don't do shout-outs on the Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast episodes, but I had a few, and since that was a pretty big milestone episode, I figured it was probably good to share those tweets with everyone. So let's get into the show now. We are episode 32, September 5th of 1992, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and we got Dutch and Bob Cottle. They set the table for us. Nothing major here in the opening segment of the show. Dutch does say he will have the winner of the Fantastics and Heavenly Bodies on with him for Down and Dirty. Dutch says something about running a marathon, which I didn't get, but whatever. Doc, you had any thoughts on the opening segment?
Not on the opening segment, but let me just say this. We just got through talking about 26 having some milestones in it. I'm going to go ahead and say it here. 32 has a milestone in it that if you are listening to us before you watch this episode or you're kind of whatever you're doing here, 32 has some moments we're going to talk about in a few minutes where the first time I watched it about a year and a half ago, I came unfucking glued. So just let's get there, bruh.
There's an incident in this episode that I texted Doc. I lost my mind. I said, holy shit. What I just witnessed was glorious. Harper, you got anything before we move on?
No, let's start.
All right. So we go to the ring. We got Tim Horner versus Robbie Eagle. Before the match can get started, Dirty White Boy joins the commentary to tell Dutch why Horner is not legitimate competition for his title. Dutch and Dirty White Boy exchange pleasantries about the time Dutch visited Dirty White Boy in his junkyard. Soon after, Tim Horner gets the win with the natural bridge. Extremely quick match. Doc, you got any thoughts before the match before I'll go to the promo with Tim Horner?
Well, I thought the Dirty White Boy showed some true heel. And a true heel move, he said, it's going to take Horner 15 minutes to beat Robbie Eagle.
Yeah, it's 20 minutes.
Now it's going to take 20.
Yeah, Dirty White Boy can talk. We've said that from day one, and he continues to do so. We go to Tim Horner in a promo here, so I'm going to play it for us all, and then we'll hear what the great Tim Horner has to say. What did Jim Cornette call T- Tim Horner on a recent episode of the Jim Cornette Experience that we both died laughing over, Doc?
Something like he called him a hillbilly, no personality having motherfucker or something. And I was like, well, that sounds about like what I see every week.
Yeah,
for real.
Well, let's listen to what Tim Horner has to say after his match.
Let's go right now to Bob Connell standing by with White Lightning, Tim Horner.
You're right. Right here, Dutch, White Lightning, Tim Horner. Tim, I don't know what happened to the Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright. Just a moment ago, they were here. They, like, the mystery man, they disappeared.
You know, I figured I could come over here and talk with them since I haven't been able to catch them on the phone. They won't return my calls. I just want to know something. I saw him out here last week pulling names out of the hat. I want to make sure my name is in that hat.
I'm not sure it's in there either, Tim, but I don't know how you're going to do that.
Well,
he says he put the 10 top contenders' names in there.
Well, I figure I'm one of the 10 top contenders. So let me tell you something, Dirty White Boy. Like I said last week, I'm not saying I can beat you, Dirty White Boy. All I want is an opportunity. Just put my name in the hat. I'll be satisfied with the luck of the draw, because sooner or later, my name's got to come up. So, Dirty White Boy, just remember that. And if it hadn't been for last week, I saw what he did. Danny Davis might have won that match. But don't forget, I'm behind you, looking for you every step you go.
All right, hot on the trail of the Dirty White Boy. There he is, White Lightning Tim Horner. And fans, we'll be back right after we take this time out.
Doc,
my first note was, Jesus Christ, this is pathetic. Second of all was, I realize you just work a match, and the average Mark does not understand the cardiovascular.
Stop calling people Marks, man.
That does not understand the cardiovascular tax that puts on your body. But Jesus Christ, hit a cardio machine every once in a while if you're that out of breath.
Dirty White Boy is the guy who's never taken a bump in a ring.
Right. Dirty White Boy is not the only one avoiding you. I wish I could avoid you, too. And then my last... My last note here, and this is the serious one, is that White Meat Babyface, Humble Babyface, and boy, I'm not even sure I can beat him, but I just want a chance. Self-deprecation are two different things, and he just sounds pathetic.
I don't know if I can add much more to that. Harper, what about you?
Yeah, I know he's out of breath. It just fucking adds to it. It's just, fuck.
Here's the thing. There's been episodes lately where we have Paul Orndorff come from the ring.
Yeah.
And Paul Orndorff is like 7, 8, 9 years older than Tim Horner. And he doesn't, I mean, he's out of breath and you can tell he just worked a match, but he doesn't sound like that. Shit. I was afraid that we needed to get an oxygen mask for Horner.
Yeah, I was waiting to see him put his hands on his knees and go, hold on, bro. Hold on.
Lights up a cigarette and is like, hold on a second. Shit. That was rough out there, Robbie Eagle.
Oh boy, I don't. I have nothing else I can really add. He just wants a shot at the title. Blah blah blah. It's just not. He doesn't have the. He just doesn't. You know, unfortunately, he doesn't have the personality. It's unfortunate, Tim. If you're listening, it's not that we hate you. It's just that the promos, the personality's not there. Whatever.
It's like I had to tell some girls back in the 90s when I was back on the dating scene. It's not that I hate you. I just want you to go away now.
Okay. Harper has that issue all the time.
Yeah.
Harper's more like, so you got that Uber app on your phone? Because it's time to scram.
Yeah, for real. Get the fuck. Stop stealing covers.
Stop stealing. We go then to the next segment. It's a recap of the Fantastics and Heavenly Bodies. Basically, we see a replay of Fire on the Mountain from the match a few weeks ago that the Fantastics won the belts at. We also get a replay of the Heavenly Bodies offering $10,000 for a rematch for the title. So they're trying to give up some money to get a rematch. The Fantastics and Bobby Fulton, of course, they told Cornette to stick it and that they weren't accepting. They then show a replay of Down and Dirty with the Fantastics and the Heavenly Bodies, where they signed a deal for Cornette to put up $20,000 so that the Fantastics would get a rematch with the Heavenly Bodies. Now, remember, one of the stipulations of this rematch is Cornette's tennis racket is not allowed to be with Jim Cornette. Just remember this. That is a big, I don't want to call it occurrence, but a big stipulation as we get to the end of the match that these two are finally going to have. So, Doc, you got anything as we roll into this next promo I'm about to play?
You know how I feel about recaps. This one was long.
It was very long. It was very long, yeah. But it caught everybody. It caught everybody up on what's been happening with the feud. So, you're gonna have that. It's again. I'll point this out too. This is not the recaps you see on Raw, where in the first hour of Raw, they played a segment. The first 15, 20 minutes was a promo. And then at the beginning of hour three, they need to fill up TV time. So they're recapping something that just happened. A week had gone by. We just want to make sure we know, our audience knows everything that's going on in case they missed the wrestling. Because, like Harper said, he used to miss wrestling sometimes when he would go to church.
Yeah.
So when he caught it the next week, he needed to know what was going on. By the way, patron episode coming on why church and wrestling are not too much different. But anyway, that'll be saved for another day. So we go to a promo now. It is the Heavenly Bodies and Cornette. So let's play that for everyone here.
And right now, Jim Cornette, the Heavenly Bodies, yeah. Killer Kyle and Jim. We got a very special guest right here.
Let me tell you something. The Fantastics, they were so cowardly. They were so scared. They wouldn't get in a ring with these men for any amount of money. But everybody's got their price, brother. And I found Bobby and Jackie Fulton's. This man right here is Mr. Robert J. Lacey. He's the vice president of the Third National Bank of Morristown, Tennessee, where Smoky Mountain Wrestling has its corporate headquarters and its corporate bank account. Bob Armstrong would not take a check from me. He wanted to see cash. Yeah. Well, brother, I got cash. Oh, no. Open that up, Jack. $20,000 in cash, brother. Get a good shot of it. That's what's on the line in this tag team title match. And I can promise you this, Fantastics, you ain't never seen this much money in your life, brother. And you ain't never gonna get your filthy, stinking hands on it. We are gonna personally beat you within an inch of your life and leave you with pocket change and bittersweet memories. And we're going to take the 20 grand and the tag team title back home. Let's
all right,
get out of here. And Kyle is staying with the money.
Kyle is going to watch the money.
Talk to Mr. Lacey. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, Mr. Lacey. Mr. Lacey, $20,000. It's in real money. You verify
it's
that?
It's verified.
And Jim Cornette put it up.
Jim Cornette put it up himself. Yes, he did.
All right.
Let him say something. Who's going to get the money?
The winner of this match right now. The winner of this match.
You're going to get the money.
Oh, all right. Jim Cornette and those are going to get the money. Let's go to the ring, fans. Right after we take this time out, it's going to be a Lulu.
Harper, what do you think, man? I'll throw it at you first.
Did he say it's going to be a Lulu?
Yeah. I thought that's yes. What you said. I thought that's what you tell your girls right as you turn out the lights is, baby, this is going to be a Lulu right here.
Brace for impact. It's going to be a Lulu.
All of a sudden, her sweet snatch just dries up like a desert when she hears that.
You think that was real money?
Oh, that was real money. I don't know if it was 20 grand.
And it was a nice touch to show it off, because most of those people in that area had never seen that kind of – probably never seen even a $20 bill, that let alone that many of them in one place.
Yeah.
I don't think it was 20 grand. I do – if you're a listener of Jim Cornette's drive-thru show like we are, I'm willing to bet somebody may end up sending them an email saying, hey, how much money was actually in that briefcase? I don't think it was 20 grand, but I definitely believe it was real money.
Enough to make the point.
Yeah.
Right, enough to make the point. So it was good. I the note that I had there was that bank executive. I don't think he's ever been in front of a camera before.
No.
You know what that guy is?
What?
That guy's a how we say it. He's a socks on, lights off kind of guy.
Do you need to explain what that means, dude? Come on.
You see one of these guys, like a banker type, white dude, old white dude, well, okay, my mayonnaise is spicy. Yes, I like Jimmy Buffett. Yeah, he's the kind of guy who fucks with his socks on and the lights off.
Jesus. Jesus.
Do you mind if while we have sex that I leave my socks on? My feet kind of get cold. And then, when we turn off the lights, I'm a little self-conscious about this pudge around the middle. That guy.
Okay, we'll move on. Harper, you got anything else from the promo?
No. It's just, it, he definitely has those people convinced that that's real fucking $20,000. Because I thought that shit was real money.
No, it's real. I think it's real money, but there's no way that's 20 grand right there. But it could be.
No, but it's enough to where those people think that shit.
Oh, heck yeah.
$20,000 sitting there.
Yeah, oh, heck yeah. I mean, that might be the yeah, I agree.
And did you notice him call it the Third National Bank of whatever, the Third National Bank of Smoky Mountains or whatever?
Yeah.
You've never been to the Third National Bank anywhere. That was a nice touch.
Yeah.
Well, we're moving right along. We go to the next segment. I'm not going to play this. We got a promo in the back. It's Rock and Roll Express, and they're promoting an upcoming show. I will say this. Ricky Morton made me laugh when he told the Stud Stable they were going to be on them like stank on you know what. I thought that was a real good one. I'll play it at the end of the episode, but we want to get into the good stuff here. So we are now at middle of the show, ironically. And we are middle of the TV episode, and it is the $20,000 challenge match, the Heavenly Bodies versus the Fantastic. So, Doc, I'll take a couple of breaks in between this because we got a lot to go through here. Cornette announces his team by saying, "Listen up, rednecks." You know, whenever you say rednecks and hillbillies in that part of the country, I believe. Also, Stan Lane still has his water polo helmet covering his beaver pelt as they come out. So I will set this thing up. You got a couple of things here. One, the $20,000 briefcase is at the desk with Bob Cottle and Dutch Mantel. Killer Kyle is guarding the briefcase, and I don't know about y'all, but I'm not challenging Killer Kyle. You know, he looks like he put some hurt on somebody. Another note,
if I'm challenging him, I'm not bringing a chair.
That's for damn sure. The way he takes a chair shot. Absolutely. Another note is that Stan Lane is bleeding from the mouth from the very beginning of the match. Which I caught that. I couldn't see exactly where it happened. The Fantastics are using every foreign object they can, with this being a no DQ matchup. I mean, just anything they can get their hands on. Bobby is using a metal rod he found on the outside of the ring. You know, Doc, you got anything before I proceed to what is going to be a glorious finish of this match?
Well, I think Dr. Tom has a bandage on his head from the get-go. That was a lot of blood Stan Lane had on his mouth. I mean, that was a lot of blood. And later in the match, it's gone. So that was kind of weird.
I've been busted open in a mouth before in a match, and I can't. I mean, I remember like bleeding, but damn, that was incredible how much blood at first. I mean, because it catches you, man. I mean, you watching it, it's like holy crap, man. And this ain't HD, so when you see it, it's got to be a big old blob of red. So I noticed that too.
I have a question here. I'm not complaining. It's a question.
Mm-hmm.
It's no DQ, and like you said, the Fantastics are loading up on the weapons.
Yeah.
Why are we even pretending to have tags in any sort of order? Why would you, if you're the heels, why would you even?
Yeah.
I'm gonna be in the ring fighting because there's no DQ.
And I was wondering why can't he bring the tennis racket if there's no DQ, but they're pulling out pipes and shit.
That was just the stipulation. Because the tennis racket is what almost defeated them at Fire on the Mountain in the cage, in the barbed wire cage. I think that's why. So the stipulation he wanted was Cornette always uses the tennis racket to their advantage. Yeah, I get it. You know, it's just another foreign object and they're using everything else. But I was fine with that. I mean, that's one of those things where I'm not going to overanalyze it in any way. But, you know, Doc, I guess you're right. You know, they're still kind of having semblance of a tag match, but whatever. It breaks down rather quickly, though, as a no DQ. So.
Boy, does it ever.
Yeah, let's get into that. So, after the first few minutes when the Fantastics have the upper hand, the Heavenly Bodies, you know, they take over. Jackie is taking all the heat, getting in a bunch of double teams. Jackie finally makes a hot tag to Bobby. Bobby clears house. It turns into a four-way, but the referee gets bumped. Bobby has Stan Lane pinned in a cradle, but there's no referee to count. Well, Mark Curtis, the other referee, comes out, but by then, Bobby and Stan are back up in control. Stan then hits Bobby Fulton with a foreign object, but Bobby kicks out miraculously when Stan goes for the pin. Now, Cornette is on the outside, and he is losing his shit. I mean, he's going crazy, man. Meanwhile, Bobby is able to put a sleeper on Stan. Now, it's hard to tell what happens, but it looks like referee Mark Curtis is pulled into Bobby Fulton by Stan Lane, and the referee takes a bump, so now both refs are down. You got one ref down on the outside, I forget that other ref's name, and you got referee Mark Curtis down on the inside. Doc, Harper, you got anything before I go to me what is the most glorious moment to date in Smoky Mountain history?
Well, I think that's the first time I saw that ref. the kind of younger guy.
He's in some of the earlier episodes.
Oh, really?
And he makes a spot appearance here and there on some of the other ones we've done. You wouldn't notice it because he's not real flashy. But like the very first, I'm going to say the first 3 to 4 episodes of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, he's reffing.
Okay.
Yeah, I forget his name. Cornette just said his name on the Jim Cornette Experience recently, but I can't remember. I don't remember who he is, though. Doc, you got anything before I go to the finish?
Well, I think this is another good quality, hard-hitting match between these two teams that have been going at it like we saw in the recap earlier. And they have a healthy, beyond healthy distaste for one another. The blood has flown. We've pulled out the chicken coop cage with barbed wire on it. We've had the backstage brawl where a windshield gets broken. We've had numerous noteworthy events tied to this thing. But we're about to go to a new level.
Yeah, we're going to a new level. So, and then I'll take us there right now. So here we go. Cornette, remember, Bobby Fulton has Stan in a sleeper hold in the ring. And the ref has been bumped. Cornette jumps up on the ring apron and he pulls out a spray can. He actually, at one point, I think, and I'd love to ask him this, but I'm 100% sure this is what happened. I think the little button fell off of the can on the floor. So Cornette jumps down to the floor, gets it, puts it back on, jumps back on the apron. He's got this large spray can, and he pulls out a fucking long white towel, and he commences to spray in that towel. Bob Cottle says, "What is that? Some kind of hospital spray? I can smell the odor from here." Bob Cottle's got to be at least 30 feet away from right there. Well, what the fuck ever. I love it. Is that ether? Cornette demonstratively, and I have to emphasize demonstratively, sprays down and saturates this rag towel with presumably ether. I want to repeat. He demonstratively does it. Why? Because he's trying to make sure that the fans in the back can see exactly what he's doing. So he's demonstratively doing it. At this point, Cornette runs into the ring, covers Bobby Fulton's mouth with the presumably ether rag, which knocks Bobby Fulton out cold. Cornette then grabs the ref down on the outside of the ring, dumps him back in by picking him up and guiding him into the ring. The referee then counts to 3 as Stan Lane is on top of Bobby Fulton. The crowd, it was like a fucking balloon. They just deflated when the Heavenly Bodies won and regained the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team titles. Now, Harper, I'm going to throw it to you first, and then we'll get Doc's point of view. But, Harper, what did you think as you watched the ether rag incident?
That shit was awesome. And then you watch it, I think he accidentally sprayed himself in the face. If you watch it, because I watched it twice, he kind of, it's like the little button must have been facing him. And when he hit it, he fucking sprayed himself in the face with it.
I never noticed that, but I'll have to go back and look.
Yeah. And dude, that shit was fucking great when he fucking knocked him out with that shit. I guess it was hairspray or fucking deodorant or something.
I've gotten actually some questions from fans asking me if I know, and I'm actually going to submit a question to Corny's Drive-Thru, his new show that's free, and ask, hey, I've got fans listening to this. They want to know what was in the ether can. So I would love to know the answer to that. I have no clue. Doc, I'll throw it at you. I think you want to tell us what you thought.
Well, this is one of my favorite moments of Smoky Mountain, because I want to say he does this again at some later point.
Well, gee, thanks for the spoiler.
I said I think.
Okay.
But even if he does, the first time you see something is always the best. Now, somebody else, this wasn't a novel concept. They'd used this before back in the 60s and 70s. And there's actually a famous story, and I can't remember who did it, that they actually used some real ether and almost killed a guy.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Hospital spray. How generic can you be there? The first time I watched this, I came on. You know how sometimes, like, you can watch like a late night sporting event, and like maybe Kobe scores 100 or 80 or something big happens, and you're like, you're wanting to tell somebody, but everybody's asleep. That's kind of how I was the first time I watched this. It was late at night. I was alone in the house. Nobody in my house gives a shit about wrestling. And it was too late to text Menace or Harper. So I was like, holy shit, I just saw the greatest thing ever, and I can't tell anybody. So that's kind of how I felt about that. If it doesn't get answered on the drive-thru, if we ever have Jim on the show, that will be the very first question I ask him. Because even if it is like Lysol or something, go spray a whole can of Lysol into a rag and then hold it over your nose for a little bit. So Bobby Fulton was getting something that was noxious, whatever it was. It wasn't fun that he got just dripped on his face. And, man, you're right. The balloon here, like the air going out of a balloon, man, you might as well have told those people in that crowd that the disability checks were late or weren't coming this month.
And I love how he, like, holds the can far away from it so you see it. So you see exactly what he's doing.
When he produces the rag, it's like an old Popeye cartoon or something. If he's getting ready to eat a bunch of hamburgers, if they pulled out a bib, a napkin he's going to put under his chin, and how pronounced that is. Just perfect. Even the dropping the button doesn't take off the thing and having to go get it. Or if he sprayed himself in the face, doesn't take away from the perfect execution of this. And just part of it is that it happens so slow that you this isn't really going to happen to our heroes. No, oh, shit, it is. Bye. Good night.
When he whipped that big ass rag out, or towel, I don't even call it a rag. That was a fucking towel. And went and commenced to spraying that bitch down and saturating it. I came unglued. I was sitting in my Lazy Boy. I'm watching it on my laptop. When that shit happened, I fucking jumped and damn near broke the laptop that we push out these podcasts on each and every week. That shit was incredible. I lost it. It was great. Doc, I actually have the audio queued up from when he did it. Would you like to hear Bob Collins' reaction? Okay. Let me play that for everyone here.
The referee is down. He rolls him into a cradle.
Him roll up into
no
the
referee.
Right now. Where's the referee?
Where's the ref? The ref
He's
is down.
Pinned.
The now referee is down.
Bobby. Wait a minute. Here comes another referee.
Okay.
We got another referee right now. We got one down outside the ring. And another one. Stan Lane. He evidently had something in that hand.
Nah, he just had his fist. That Bobby Fulton can't stand up anyway.
Count of two. Fulton kicked out. Cornette's about to go crazy.
These men have to lose 4 or 5 pounds in this match because it's very hot in this building.
Boy,
There's that sleeper again.
Bobby Fulton now with that sleeper on Stan Lane. And there's no way that either Tom Pritchard can't get in. Jackie Fulton's got him outside the ring. Jackie, down goes the referee again.
And Jackie Fulton.
Wait a minute, here's Cornette.
Wait a minute, Cornette.
Cornette up onto the apron of the ring. He's spraying something in a rag. What the heck is that he's spraying? That's got some kind of a hospital odor or something to it. What the heck is it?
It's awfully strong right now.
And he's got it right around the face and the nose now of Bobby Fulton.
Well, it's no DQ. Anything goes. Remember that. Remember that, fans. Anything goes. No team can be disqualified.
Cornette with something. Was that ether? It was something he sprayed on that rag, and Bobby Fulton is out. Now here's Cornette helping the referee back in.
Get it in.
Is still out.
There it is.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's your winners of the match, the Heavenly Bodies.
What a wild.
That crowd died. When he made that announcement, the Heavenly Bodies won. They died, man. But I don't know, man. This was one of the milestone moments of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. It really feels like at this point we're starting to get into, you know, we're really getting our groove now, and some things are really about to start popping off. So, Doc, you got anything else before we move on to our next glorious segment of the show?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay. Harper, what about you?
Is this the promo coming up?
Yes, this is the promo coming up. Let's set that up. We got Down and Dirty with Dutch and the Heavenly Bodies. And and Dutch is with the new and two-time Smoky Mountain Wrestling tag team champions, the Heavenly Bodies and Jim Cornette.
Okay, everybody, welcome to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantel, and you're not. And right now, I want y'all to give a big hand to the new Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions, the Heavenly Bodies, and Jimmy Cornette, I want to shake your hand. It was a tremendous strategy that you had, and you pulled it out, saved your mama $20,000, and you are to be commended, and thank you for coming onto my program here to keep me from having the Fantastics out here and killing my ratings. I'm a little choked up right now because I'm so happy. We got the gold back. We kept mama's money. But you know something, you people, you're not thanking me. You're not being grateful. You see what happened right there? The referee was knocked from the ring. There was no official to keep any participants in the match from serious injury. I saw an old wound on Bobby Fulton's forehead open up. Blood began to protrude. So what did I do? Being a manager that's always prepared, I pulled out my first aid kit. And I sprayed some disinfectant on the cloth.
That's what I told him.
And as I sprayed that disinfectant, I went in there to wipe off the wound to see if he was hurt so badly that he may not be able to continue. I saw after cleaning the wound that he was fine. I let the match continue, but then suddenly, boy must have a drinking problem. He dropped over.
Yeah.
He went to sleep. maybe he got bit by a tsetse fly.
He passed out.
Dropped over straight away. So the Heavenly Bodies are the new Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team Champions,
that's,
brother.
That's great, Jimmy. And Jimmy, for helping him, you're a great humanitarian. Guys, I just want to ask you, Stan, what does the future hold for the Heavenly Bodies?
Well, first of all, let me say this. You know, I've told Tom and Jim for a long time that I thought I smelled not only cigarette smoke on their breath, but liquor. And now it's a proven fact they're drunk and he passed out. Guys, from now on, it's the Rock and Roll Express. We've beaten them so many times before. It's going to be like a piece of candy beating those guys again. I can't wait. Tell them, Tom.
We just proved to hundreds upon thousands of people on TV that we are the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions. And we'll prove it to you, Rock and Roll. We'll prove it to anybody. We'll keep the camera rolling while I'm talking because we are your champions.
Okay, fans, there it is. Down and Dirty with Dutch. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Great win, Jimmy. Great win.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to explain it other than it was awesome. I mean, you just heard it all. I mean, there it is. Harper, you let out a couple chuckles there, and so did I. I mean, go ahead.
It's just another example of something you can't do now. Calling someone a bunch of drunks and all of that. It's just and I mean, what's he call? He got bit by a
tsetse fly.
A tsetse fly.
What the hell is that?
I forget the actual thing, but I know it's a fly that can like
carry malaria, I believe,
yeah.
Sir.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. I don't know how many people in the Smoky Mountains got that joke either.
That's what's great about it. It's a large.
No, no disrespect to our great Smoky Mountain listeners, because I mean we got to be honest. Most of the people that listen to this show are from the Smoky Mountains, and it's ironically hosted by three guys who've rarely. I mean, I've been through the Smoky Mountains, but never really visited. So yeah, what does that tell you? But anyway, go ahead, Doc.
I've flown over them.
Well, yes. I mean, yeah. Go ahead, Doc. You were about to say something.
Well, I just, you know, Corny saying he's got a first aid kit and bringing out a tsetse fly and Stan has smelled cigarettes on their breath and now he can confirm there's liquor. And it's just all punctuated. It's all right there, but it's not all right there because the visual of Corny rolling around in the money to go off the air is fantastic, too.
Yeah,
he's
that
so
was
happy
good.
That he's so happy that they didn't lose Mama's money. He's rolling around and throwing it up in the air in the ring. Just. Yeah. Top shelf all the way around. If you didn't find the previous 10 to 20 minutes of this episode entertaining as all hell, then I don't know what to tell you, and I'm kind of done with you.
Yeah, this was fabulous. I mean, I just loved it. I don't know.
I just Googled it. What this fly does? It would give people a human sleeping sickness if you got bit by it or whatever.
How next level genius is that? What kind of comment is that then?
Cornette. I don't know. I mean, he was drunk, or maybe he got bit by a tsetse fly. Smoky Mountain greatness at its best. Anything else?
Even the smart people in that area, their best hope and dream is to go to the University of Tennessee and learn how to color with crayons and stay in the line. So it's not like even the smart people do.
Now you're insulting the SEC in general. Come on now.
Well,
come on now. That's a Southeastern Conference school.
Big old forehead and ass.
Yeah. Mongoloid came out of nowhere. What?
Oh, come on now.
Huh?
Come on. Just insulting the good people more. All right, let's keep it going. If you want to listen back, just hit the rewind button and listen to that great promo again. Yes, it was fabulous. So we go to the next segment. It is a Paul Orndorff promo. Doc, you want me to play this thing? I mean, I think I can talk through it, but
Dude. You're the boss here, boss.
Well, I mean, just overall, Orndorff is really calm during this thing. He's still cutting a nice gem. He talks about how he's got the Rolex watches, the gold chains. He's even got a Mercedes, whereas Ronnie Garvin don't have none of that. He says Garvin is out here kissing up to the 8-to-5ers and sucking up to these mountain men. Orndorff's effective. You know what? Fuck it. Let's listen to what Orndorff has to say.
Fans right here, Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff. Paul, I got to tell you. Ronnie Garvin says it's not over by any stretch of the imagination between him and you.
Well, you know something? If Ronnie Garvin, the man of fist of stones, whatever they call him, if he's all the man that he says he is, then why didn't he step into the ring? That's what I want to know. And another thing, Ronnie Garvin gets out here, he hugs and kisses these little kids and everything. Who are you kidding? Listen, I don't need to do that. I'm Mr. Wonderful. I got the Rolex watches. I got the gold. I got the brand new Mercedes. I got everything it takes. And Ronnie Garvin tries to relate to these 8-to-5ers out here, these mountain men, so-called mountain men. And then I heard him say that whatever his witness is to his promise, that before it's over with, he's going to pile drive Mr. Wonderful. Yeah. Let me tell you something, Ronnie Garvin. Nobody in this world is ever going to do that.
Fans, that's the story right there from Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff. Hey, it's happened again. The man that has been stalking primetime.
All right, we're going to get to what they're talking about, the stalker, in a minute. But, I mean, Doc, you had anything before we go to the next segment?
Solid. Solid promo from Orndorff. And he can keep it simple like that, or he can get out there and rant and rave and go crazy because he's a versatile pro.
Yeah, I agree. Harper, what about you?
He kept it short and simple.
Yep. Short.
They got the job done.
That's it. So we go to the next segment. It is a clip of the Texas Death Match between Primetime Brian Lee and the Dirty White Boy. It is at the Knoxville Civic Coliseum. Primetime Brian Lee loses due to interference from the mystery man that's been causing havoc for Primetime Brian Lee the last 6 weeks or so. Doc, did you have anything on this before we go to the next segment, which is a Bullet Bob Armstrong promo? This is obviously house show footage. I kind of like how they mix this into the TV.
Yeah, I got a couple of things here. One is you've got private investigator Bob Armstrong running around with the wanted posters and everything else. Well, the prime suspect just got in the ring. Why didn't y'all go get him?
Because it's Southern wrestling. Quit trying to psychoanalyze it.
I'm good with that. Okay. Second of all, did you notice here, and it's good to be able to come back later in the episode and pile on him. So did you guys notice when Tim Horner, our buddy Tim Horner, White Lightning, jumped in the ring that his T-shirt was slit up the back like a damn girl?
Yeah.
I didn't notice, but...
Well, I don't know what it is, but everything that guy does just flies all over me.
Not a Tim Horner fan, are you?
and I get it. You know, if he's out there listening, he's 58, 60 years old. He can whip my ass in 30 seconds flat. I don't care. I don't like watching him on my TV. So there you go.
Okay.
I said it.
Yeah. All right. Anything else before we go to the next segment? I'm going to take that as a no. All right. We go to Primetime Brian Lee and Bullet Bob Armstrong. It's a promo here. And I kind of love this. I love this segment. Now, this is on the heels of that clip that we just saw from the Knoxville Civic Coliseum with the mystery man. Deputy Dog Bullet Bob Armstrong on the scene, though.
Primetime Brian Lee, Commissioner Bob Armstrong fans. Commissioner, it continues to happen to him. Somebody, whoever this individual or whatever he is, continues to stalk him.
Yeah, the reward posters were bad enough, $10,000 on Primetime Brian Lee. But now I got a letter in the mail. There's a connection here, Bob. Listen and see what you think. Commissioner Armstrong, I see that one of my followers has disturbed you. It won't be the last time. Professional wrestling has wronged me, and you, Armstrong, turned your back on me. Because of this, your fair-haired boys will pay. Brian Lee will be the first, and you'll have to watch it happen. Don't try to find me. When it's time, I'll find you. I don't know what kind of mind would come up with something like this. What have they got against me that they're taking out on Primetime Brian Lee for? Yeah. I'm at a loss for it, and every time I see these reward posters, I'm tearing them up, and I'll give you the privilege of tearing that letter up and just be watching behind your back. I'll get it settled when I can.
And I'll tell you, Commissioner Armstrong, has anybody checked prison? Is Charles Manson out? This is sick. This is going beyond wrestling. This is a man's life who you're talking about. You know, it's hard enough getting in the ring and facing a man one-on-one. You know, I've got to watch people around my back. I can't even go out and eat now. $10,000, they don't even put this on guys that break out of prison. So I'll tell you what, I have no problem one-on-one. But this right here, I'm not scared to say, it's got me a little bit shook up. I got to look over my shoulder every minute of the day. You know, Bob, I don't know if it's friend. It could be anybody. I just don't know what to do.
Well, fans, this is continuing. It's got to come to a head. We got to find out. We got to know more about it. And we'll keep you posted as time goes on. Fans, we'll be back. We'll have more right after this.
Man, that... I just want to say one thing. Bullet Bob there, the way he reads that anonymous letter, to me, it sold it that much more. Like, it's a cryptic letter. So, Harper, what'd you think, man?
You don't like Bullet Bob with his CSI Pikeville?
Yeah.
Edition?
Yeah. It's beautiful.
See, every time I see Brian Lee now, I'm thinking, how did this guy cockblock the fucking Undertaker?
That's all you can think of.
Yeah. With that stupid mullet and just get my hands on you.
Leave it to Harper. Oh, boy. Yeah. Doc, what'd you have from that?
I think we're still about 8 or 9 weeks away from figuring out who this is.
Oh, we are exactly. Yes, well, and I'm glad you said that, because I didn't want to spoil things, but I can tell you right now, it is exactly 9 weeks away from this episode that actually the person is revealed. And that goes to my greater point that I've always made with Smoky Mountain Wrestling, whether it's who Ron Wright's guy is going to be with the Dirty White Boy that took weeks to play out, whether it's the Heavenly Bodies it being introduced and not coming in until like week 12 or 13 or some crazy number down the line, whether it's that or whether it's, you know, just any type of build that they do, it's a slow build and it's what made wrestling in the territory so great. And yes, we are still about 9 weeks away from finding out who this mystery guy is. It's incredible when you think about it, because it took them 2.5-3 months before this guy ever comes around. And let me tell you something, everybody out there listening. I don't want to spoil it for you, so if you want to go ahead and watch, that's fine. When this shit pops off, when this guy comes in, it fucking pops off.
It's a good payoff.
Yeah, it's a payoff to where you're like, holy shit. Almost starstruck, not starstruck, but like it takes your breath away a little bit once you realize who it is and then to see what happens.
The bang to buck is there.
Yeah, good. Especially months down the line. So if you go, if you're watching ahead, you will appreciate the payoff of it all. But I really like it. I like the cryptic message of it. The cryptic message fits the person that it ends up being. And that's all I'll say, and we'll leave it at that. We go to the next segment. It is Phil Rainey and the Stud Stable. It's a repeat promo. I'll add it on at the end of the episode. And then they recap the Rock and Roll Express and Stud Stable match from last week. They replay the double DQ when the Rock and Roll Express was left standing in the middle of the ring. And if you recall, I had mentioned something to the effect of, hey, you know, it's a double DQ, but look at that subtle note there where the Rock and Roll Express is actually, it's like they won the match. And that's that. We then lead into a Rock and Roll Express promo, which I'm going to play right here. And, you know, it's Ricky Morton. We got to play it.
You know, Jimmy Golden, Robert Fuller, what you're trying to do is run roughshod over the Rock and Roll Express, guys. Hey, that's not going
to
happen.
You sure got that right. You know, it's a pleasure to be here at Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and it's a pleasure to be back with Robert Gibson. But let me tell you one thing, Stud Stable. There's nothing that we can do about you jumping on us, but there's a whole lot we can do to get you off. And we're going to tell you right now, brother, we will walk a mud hole on your butt and stomp it dry to get to you, baby, because rock and roll is here to stay. Wrestling fans, this is a
Boy, I fucking Ricky Morton cut a promo short and sweet.
Yeah.
We're gonna stomp a mud hole in you and walk it dry. I don't know, man. I love that. You know, Austin is famous for saying, you know, saying something similar to that. And yeah, man. But what you got, Harper, on that one?
Yeah, he just kept it short and sweet, and it's obvious he's the I guess he's the mouthpiece.
Yeah, yeah.
Rock and Roll Express. Yeah.
Yeah, it's obvious. It's obvious. I mean, he comes in and he pops things off. Doc, what you have, man?
You know, I love the Rock and Roll Express. They're my number one tag team of all time. But it kills me. And nobody escapes Doc's sharp my analysis.
What are you about to say? Nobody escapes Doc's anus?
What?
That's what I thought he said.
No one escapes Doc's anus.
That's dirty, man. What's wrong with
you? Yeah, that's what it sounded like you said, fucking idiot.
What kind of person would think that? What?
Can you make your point, please? Come on, man.
I forgot it because you started talking about my leather Cheerio.
Oh,
huh?
That's real classy.
His brown eyed girl.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ. God. Doc, are you going to tell us what you think? I'm
it just
really
kills me because Gibson wears the jean jacket duster, and Morton wears the jean jacket with the sleeves rolled up. And it's just, man, this is 1992, and we're deep into 1992, and that is so 1986. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I love it. I absolutely love it. It's like you know, we're doing the WCW Saturday Night stuff, and we're still in 1985 or getting to the end of 1985 right now. And on the flagship show on Thursday nights, yeah, you can check it out there as well. tinyurl.com/BTTpod. And you can subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast from. Just search Booking the Territory. But we're doing the WCW Saturday Night stuff right now. And Morton doesn't really look – I mean, you can see he's aged a little. It's 7 years later. But, I mean, it's basically the same outfit, right, Doc? I mean, there's not really much of a change besides the fact that he looks a little older. Yeah, in 92. All right, let's go to the last segment of the show. This is probably, you know, no disrespect, but this is probably one of the weaker main events. And you got to remember, we had a main event, was it last week or the week before that, with Paul Orndorff and Ronnie Garvin. So, yeah, this main event is going to be a little not as stacked. We got the Stud Stable, Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden versus the Batten Twins. Bob Cottle is harping on Cornette's use of the ether on Bobby Fulton. Dutch says that's old news. it just happened. Not even 30 minutes ago, and it's old news already. Dutch then says that Primetime Brian Lee is about to have a nervous breakdown with this mystery man stalking him. And then Dutch feels that Primetime Brian Lee and Bob Armstrong are on the verge of going to a mental institution over this stalker that is sending these anonymous notes and has a $10,000 hit out on Primetime Brian Lee. Bob and Dutch, they don't really talk about the match. They are talking about Cornette from earlier in the ether still, pretty much. And the finish is uneventful. This may be, like I said, this is not one of the best main events for this promotion, but whatever. We had a nice episode. Golden gets the pin on one of the Batten Twins, and that's it. We go off the air. There's no promo on it. Harper, did you have anything from this match that you wanted to share?
No, it was just, it was almost like an elaborate squash match.
It was, and it came... Yeah, and it came on the heels of some other great stuff in this episode. Yeah. You know, Doc, what about you?
The tag match in the middle of this show was the main event. Let's don't get it twisted. And we've been here for what seems like the better part of the summer. So there's no telling what order this match was really done and how they sequenced it. So I'm not too worked up on the fact that this is quote unquote the main event, but not much else here.
Yeah, there's nothing else. I mean, I don't know what else you can say. Like you said, we had the main event in the middle of the show. We had a great main event in the middle of the show. Not only we had that, but we had Down and Dirty as well. So that really put the show over. All right, we got to hand out some disability checks, as we always do. If you're a first-time listener to us, what we do with every single Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast episode is we hand out disability checks. It's our way of poking a little bit fun about how, you know, look, man, I came from a poor environment. You know, Harper kind of did too. Doc did too.
You're
so.
Right.
So what we do is we make fun of people spending their disability checks on wrestling, and it's just our way of having a little fun. So whatever. But anyway, so disability checks, I got 8 disability checks on this episode, Doc. What do you have?
Disability check. 8?
Yes.
8.
8.
Wow. Too many recap.
Spit it out, Doc. Come on now.
Too many recaps in this episode, so that's going to hurt the overall score. But certainly with a milestone event such as this, you're going to get a high score. I'm going to say I'm going to hand out 7.5 disability checks.
So you're 0.5 less than me, and you want to criticize me. You're an idiot. Harper, what you got?
I would give it an 8.5. Because all the recap shit, but just that fucking ether egg moment was fucking just that. That was worth it.
It was worth it. And we're going to, I got a feeling we're going to talk more about that in a minute when we give out the government cheese. I really do.
What is government cheese for our first time listeners?
We're gonna talk about that in a second. I do want to say, please subscribe to the show wherever you get it from. If you're listening for the first time, subscribe on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, TuneIn Radio, wherever you get your podcast from. Please subscribe to it. Check the show notes. I've basically got a list of links where you can get the show from. But and then throw it on iTunes. Throw us a 5-star review. We'd really appreciate that. The 5-star reviews really do help us out. If you like what we're doing with the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Journey and the Wrestling Podcast, Jim Cornette's great creation in the 90s. Please throw us a 5-star review. It would mean a lot to us. And then if you're listening, look, we kick out 8 free shows a month to you. And we kick out a couple of bonus episodes to our Patreon members. And we give our Patreon members the opportunity to cut promos on Doc and Hardbody Harper, or even me on air if you'd like to. Only thing you got to do is you just got to go to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron, and you can become a patron member. It can cost you as little as $2 a month, and it's your way of helping support the show that you enjoy each and every week. So please consider doing so. There's a few other options out there. You know, becoming a patron, once we reach certain milestones, also you can possibly win a Book in the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast t-shirt, or a Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast t-shirt. So please consider becoming a patron member. And then also, if you want to support the show, one of the coolest ways you can do so without spending any extra money that you wouldn't otherwise spend if you're already shopping on Amazon, go to tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon, and you can go to our Amazon referral link. Load up your shopping cart, purchase, we'll get a little bit small kickback. So I just want to throw that out there before we get to the Government Cheese Awards. So, Doc, let's talk about the Government Cheese, man. I'm going to go first. It's the Ether Rag incident, and it's down and dirty with Dutch. I don't know how you can give this episode anything but that. That was just a spectacular event that occurred in this show. It's hard to, I mean, when you watch, if you're listening and haven't seen it, Cornette holds this rag out, and I mean, he's paint, like just his swiping motion of the rag really puts it over. So I got the Ether Rag incident on this show. Doc, what did you have?
Corny gets it.
I mean, how do you not, right?
Yeah.
And I got a feeling, Harper, you're going to go with the same thing.
Yeah. He definitely showed why he's basically, he's one of the best managers of all time, and he fucking showed you today.
Yeah. Yeah, he certainly did. It was just incredible. I mean, dude, the ether, right? Dude, oh, God. I can't even, it's hard for me to articulate how much I literally came unglued when I saw that. Just the way I jumped up off of my freaking lazy boy. It was incredible. So that was our government cheese. Doc, I didn't explain what the government cheese was, did I?
No.
Well, it came from longtime listener of ours, Shard Johnson, who suggested that we give out a government cheese award to the segment of the show that was the best segment in the show. Or what put the show over so much for us. So that's why we came up with the Government Cheese Award. It leans on the Disability Check Award that we do a little bit, just a little bit different, because the checks, we hand out exact numbers of checks, whereas the Government Cheese, we actually tell you which one of our segments was our favorite. So we do that each and every week if you're a first-time listener to us. Before we go away, follow us on Twitter at BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper. Go aggravate him at CJHWhoDat. He really likes when women aggravate him too. So please go check it out. And like I had mentioned earlier, all of the links that I mentioned, the tiny URLs, they are in the show notes. So please check out the show notes if you missed any of that. And just please consider becoming a patron member because it really supports the show. We got the Dallas Cowboys Ring Rat House in our exclusive podcast patron members. It was a very hilarious episode. Doc had a Rooms to Go saga that has a lot to do with wrestling, if you ask me, in the patron episodes only. And those are exclusive only for patrons. They may not be complete wrestling talk, but they are. They have a lot to do with wrestling and either working someone or getting work, because Doc got worked, especially at Buy Rooms to Go. Doc, you got anything else before we head out of here? And we're actually going to, in a second, cut episode number 33 for next week.
No, so I'm done. I'm done. No more. No more.
All right. Harper, no what more. You got, man?
Not a damn thing.
Well, we do have the promos of the week that we did not play during this episode, and I got a feeling I'll be replaying Cornette's Ether incident on, or at least the Down and Dirty with Dutch after the Ether incident, because it's worth a second here. So we got a couple of more that we didn't play in the episode, and then we got that. Harper, do us all a favor. Hit the tagline and get us out of here from episode number 32 from September 5th of 1992 of Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Book it, bitch.
Wrestling fans, get ready. In Cumberland, Kentucky, at the high school, Smoky Mountain Wrestling is coming your way on September the 12th. The Rock and Roll Express will be there, along with the stud stable, Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden, the Heavenly Bodies managed by Jim Cornette, Primetime Brian Lee, White Lightning Tim Horner, the Dirty White Boy, and more, plus a 14-man battle royal, $5,000 on the line in this match. And wrestling returns to the Knoxville Civic Coliseum on Friday, October the 2nd. We'll ring the bell at 8 o'clock, and we ask you to keep watching Catch Fox 43 for more information on the big wrestling card signed for October the 2nd. One match already signed, a stretcher match. One man must be carried out for his team, the other team to win. Okay, guys, let's talk to Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, the Rock and Roll Express.
You know, Phil, Jimmy Golden and Robert Fuller, they come out here and they do one thing. They think they're real tough guys. Let me tell you something, guys. Last time you left us laying, this time it's going to be a stretcher match. That means you can't win unless one man gets carried out, guys. Be ready for a fight.
You got that right. You know, K-Town, baby, Knoxville, Tennessee, this is the town of the Rock and Roll Express. And we don't care about you, stud stable, because every time we wrestle you, baby, we beat you right in the middle of the ring, but some way or another, you always come back and jump us from behind. Well, this time right here, brother, it's going to be a stretcher match. And the only way you can win is for the other team to be carried out feet first out that back door. And that's what's going to happen right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. You see, we've been in many, many battles, and we won on many, many wars. But this time, brother, it's our time. It's the Rock and Roll Express. You know, we're not satisfied until we get you down, brother, and we do away with the stud stable. We know that you're big and you're bad, but remember one thing, too, big boys, you can always be had. Stretcher match is the Rock and Roll Express's match, and we're going to prove to you and all the nice people here in Knoxville, Tennessee, that we are the better team, baby. We've been there before, and we're going there again. So be ready, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, right here, Knoxville, Tennessee. Rock and roll is here to stay. We're not here to play. Stud Stable, we're on you, brother, like stink on you know what.
Wrestling fans, you'll want to be in Knoxville for this match, a stretcher match. Make your plans.
These men have to lose 4 or 5 pounds in this match because it's very hot in this building.
Boy,
There's that sleeper again.
Bobby Fuller now with that sleeper on Stan Wayne. And there's no way that either Tom Pritchard can't get in. Jackie Fulton's got him outside the ring. Jackie, down goes the referee again.
And Jackie Fulton.
Wait a minute, here's Cornette.
Wait a minute, Cornette.
Cornette up onto the apron of the ring. He's spraying something in a rag. What the heck is that he's spraying? It's got some kind of a hospital odor or something to it. What the heck is it?
It's awfully strong right now.
And he's got it right around the face and the nose now of Bobby Fulton.
Well, it's no DQ. Anything goes. Remember that. Remember that, fans. Anything goes. No team can be disqualified.
Cornette with something. Was that ether? It was something he sprayed on that rag, and Bobby Fulton is out. Now here's Cornette helping the referee back in.
Get it in.
Is still out.
There it is.
Oh, they got him. Oh, no.
It's your winners of the match, the Heavenly Bodies.
What a wild and woolly one, fans. The Heavenly Bodies are the winner in the no disqualification. They are now... were the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions. No disqualification. And Bobby Fulton is still out. in the ring, and Stan Lane is having to be helped out.
Are you saying he sprayed something on the
something on that rag?
Well, I'm going to tell you my theory.
Ether or something.
I'm going to tell you my theory. I think Bobby Fulton is a heavy drinker, and I think he was drunk before he went in here, and he just passed out right there.
Killer Kyle just closed up the $20,000, and he's going to take it back to Jim Cornette. Fans, there are your winners. The Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions, the new champions, as they regain the championship, the Heavenly Bodies. And we'll be back, Down and Dirty with Dutch, right after this.
Okay, everybody, welcome to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantel, and you're not. And right now, I want y'all to give a big hand to the new Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions, the Heavenly Bodies. And Jimmy Cornette, I want to shake your hand. It was a tremendous strategy that you had, and you pulled it out, saved your mama $20,000, and you are to be commended, and thank you for coming onto my program here to keep me from having the Fantastics out here and killing my ratings. I'm a little choked up right now because I'm so happy. We got the gold back. We kept mama's money. But you know something, you people, you're not thanking me. You're not being grateful. You see what happened right there? The referee was knocked from the ring. There was no official to keep any participants in the match from serious injury. I saw an old wound on Bobby Fulton's forehead open up. Blood began to protrude. So what did I do? Being a manager that's always prepared, I pulled out my first aid kit and I sprayed some disinfectant on the cloth.
That's what I told him.
And as I sprayed that disinfectant, I went in there to wipe off the wound to see if he was hurt so badly that he may not be able to continue. I saw after cleaning the wound that he was fine. I let the match continue, but then suddenly, boy must have a drinking problem. He dropped over.
Yeah.
He went to sleep. Maybe he got bit by a tsetse fly.
He passed out.
Dropped over straight away. So the Heavenly Bodies are the new Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team Champions, brother.
That's great, Jimmy. And Jimmy, for helping him, you're a great humanitarian. Guys, I just want to ask you, Stan, what does the future hold for the Heavenly Bodies?
Well, first of all, let me say this. You know, I've told Tom and Jim for a long time, and I thought I smelled not only cigarette smoke on their breath, but liquor. And now it's a proven fact, they're drunk, and he passed out. So no more of those guys. From now on, it's the Rock and Roll Express. We've beaten them so many times before, it's going to be like a piece of candy beating those guys again. I can't wait. Tell them, Tom.
We just proved to hundreds upon thousands of people on TV that we are the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions. And we'll prove it to you, Rock and Roll. We'll prove it to anybody. We'll keep the camera rolling while I'm talking because we are your champions.
Okay, fans, there it is. Down and Dirty with Dutch. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Great win, Jimmy. Great win.
Get ready for Smoky Mountain Wrestling in Cumberland, Kentucky at the high school on Saturday, September the 12th. The Rock and Roll Express, the Stud Stable, the Heavenly Bodies, Primetime Brian Lee, White Lightning Tim Horner, the Dirty White Boy, and more, plus a 14-man battle royal for $5,000. And in Knoxville, Tennessee, wrestling returns to the Civic Coliseum on Friday, October the 2nd, bell time 8 o'clock. Also, a big card signed. Keep watching Catch Fox 43 for more details on this wrestling card. Already signed, a stretcher match. One man must be carried out as the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson, take on the Stud Stable, the Tennessee Stud, Robert Fuller, and Jimmy Golden.
Let me get this straight. Now, we're going to go out there, and we're going to beat each other to a bloody pulp until somebody can't get up no more. Then they're going to lay you down on a stretcher and carry you out. That's going to be awfully embarrassing for somebody. And you're looking at two fellas right here, you two punks. That's not going to be embarrassed. I'm going to tell you something. We've left you laying in the ring every time we've stepped up there with you. And this time, boys, you're going to be shipped out there. Might as well get them an ambulance. Carry them on down to the hospital, because I imagine it's going to take you a while to get out.
You know, Phil, this thing started out. Hold the mic up here, little fella, so I can hear. This thing started out pretty honest. You got a reunion, the greatest reunion of all time. Me and Jimmy Golden come in to meet the Rock and Roll Express. Everybody's excited. Could end it real easy when we whooped you, boys. But see, it ain't going in there because you ain't got sense enough to stop it when it ought to be stopped.
So now you want a stretcher match, and you know exactly what it means. Let the promotion know that booked it. Let you know, little fella. Everybody know when you get out there in a stretcher match, somebody's going to the hospital. And I'm going to guarantee you this, boys. It's not going to be the stud stable. We got everything on you. We got size. We got duty. We got meanness. We got everything it takes to send you out on a stretcher, son, in Knoxville.
Golden covered him for the pin.
The winners of the match, Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden, the stud stable.
All right, fans, there you have the winners. And next week, right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling, the stud stable against the Dixie Dynamite and Davis, right here next week on Smoky Mountain Wrestling.